Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, the 16th of September. It's officially the weekend. Sadly, things go back to normal next week. But for the last time this week, I'm Jimmy Moyaha, your host, filling in for Simon Brown. On the show today, we're chatting with Carmen Peluana, portfolio manager at APSA Asset Management, around the market updates, update from City Lodge, recent stock pick, as well as what might be happening in China. We also chat to Marius Reitz from Luno regarding the recent Ethereum merge. This show is proudly brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines for you. We have President Biden set to talk Russia and Ukraine with President Ramaphosa. China's industrial production and retail sales beat expectations. Oil on track for weekly loss as recession fears grow. Asian stocks weaken as the IMF and World Bank flag recession risks. Little room to limit the 32% ESCOM, 32% tariff increase ESCOM wants, as well as the ACSA, the Airports Company of South Africa, saying it is on the road to recovery. Morning markets, just a quick look at that. S&P down overnight about 1.13%, NASDAQ down 1.43%, Asian markets trading also in the red, Australian stocks down 0.94%, Tokyo down 1.2%, Hong Kong down 1.1%, the Rand sitting at 17 Rand 57 at the moment, we've got oil sitting at $90 a barrel, $90.40 a barrel, gold significantly lower at $1,665 an ounce, I'm expecting a red open on the top 40, possibly about 0.5% down, looking to see if we can recover. We're sitting down about 3% for the week. So we'll see if we can close out that positively there.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Starting off the morning with a chat with Carmen Mpeluana. She's portfolio manager at APSA Asset Management, looking at the recent statement put out by City Lodge. Morning, Carmen. Thanks very much for taking the time. What did we get from City Lodge yesterday?
Morning. Yes, Jimmy. We definitely did see a second trading update from City Lodge. In the positive, the initial one guided to earnings being up at least 75%. They've given a better range now. So diluted earnings per share up at least 106 to 112%. I don't think it should come as a surprise. There obviously is a low base factor year, number one, but we've definitely been seeing a recovery in occupancy rates in the tourism sector, and then definitely revenues as well. So, I mean, if you just have an anecdotal look around, you'll see that it's been a significant increase in business travel, and they've also said there's been some boost from the corporate activity in terms of booking hotel rooms, etc.
Well, I've been a big proponent of City Lodge for the longest time. I think they have been on the receiving end of some rather bearish times since COVID. I'm glad to see that the signs of recovery are there. We should hopefully get a better indication when those results officially come out. Taking a look at China quickly, the industrial production numbers that came out of China beat expectations. I mean, expectations and consensus was around 3.8%. That came in at 4.2%. Their retail sales numbers were also up. The consensus was 3.5%. That came in at 5.4%. And unemployment decreased marginally by 0.1%. Does this spell signs of recovery for China? I mean, we know that China, alongside the US and the Eurozone, are the three largest economies in the world. And would an indication of this sort of recovery spell good news for the rest of the world?
So on the face of it, you'd think so and you'd hope so if you are an optimistic person. But if you delve into these numbers, so for example, on the retail sales side, as you've mentioned, definitely a beat for consensus, but it comes off a low base in the prior period. And then government also gave subsidies over the month for electric vehicles, and that definitely led to a surge in car sales. So that was one of the sort of anomalies and unlikely to be sustainable going forward. Then on the industrial production side, that was largely supported by a spike in electricity production, and we all know what's happening with the heat wave, etc. And so that also was a boost, and again, unsustainable. And I mention that because if we look at the GDP numbers, we know in the second quarter, only up 40 bips for China. The market has reduced its expectations for GDP guidance for the year down to about 3.5%, compared to what their target is of 5.5%. So I think the continued widespread lockdowns in China and the rolling ones, I think, as well, as we see them try to contain the virus, and the property slump, which just has not turned around as yet, will remain an overhang in terms of the outlook for growth in China.
Yeah, so that I understand those points, and I agree with that. I mean, to a certain extent, it is too soon to determine whether or not this is the confirmed recovery, but we hope to see more positive signs in the future. Just before I let you go, Carmen, yesterday at the LeaderX, you gave out MTN as a stock pick. Your thoughts around why that? I mean, I don't disagree with the stock pick. I thoroughly think that it's been one of the best performing stocks of the year. We've seen the share price sitting at about 130 at the moment, but we've seen it perform really, really well across all segments, being Ghana, Nigeria, and South Africa. Any particular reason you liked it so much?
Yeah, I definitely think of late it's been oversold. Currently trading at a PE level of about 10.8 times compared to its long-term average of about 12.6. Adding on to that, when you compare its trading level to Vodacom and Telkom, and I mean, we can be honest with each other and say that they far exceed both in South Africa and globally in terms of growth for earnings and top line, that they should be trading at a rating that's much higher than what Vodacom and Telkom is trading. Since the announcement of the potential takeover of Telkom, we've seen Telkom's share price significantly recover. And so those two are almost trading at the same relative level, which is, in my books, you know, if we look at the fundamentals of the two companies, doesn't make sense at this point. You know, MTN has come out, they have strengthened their balance sheet, they have cleaned up in terms of Nigeria and what is happening on that side. And they've proven that they're very good at their capital allocation and converting that to performance. So that's my opinion on MTN. I think that with the share price pulling down to 130 is a great entry point. Medium term, definitely going to see some strength in terms of results. So if you have some money to spare, I think this is one place to put it.
We'll have to see if it breaks that 140 level that it's tested recently and then on to 160. But thanks very much for the early morning, Carmen. That was Carmen Peluana, Portfolio Manager at APSA Asset Management.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanlib Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks, so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Marius Reitz, General Manager at Luno South Africa, or Luno Africa, looking at the recent Ethereum merger. Marius, thanks so much for the early morning. Can you just give us a bit of context for those that weren't keeping up with the merger? What happened and why?
Morning, Jimmy. Yes, Ethereum's long-awaited network upgrade completed yesterday. This upgrade took the consensus mechanism, which is the way in which computers in a network reach agreement and secure the network from a proof of work to a proof of stake network. So proof of work network, typically how miners secure the Bitcoin network, it involves a lot of computational power and the proof of stake involves stakers or miners, and they lock up their tokens for the right to then validate transactions on the Ethereum. So I think it's significant. Ethereum previously used the same consensus network as Bitcoin. Crypto mining, a lot of energy is required, and so this upgrade for Ethereum will reduce that by almost 99.5%. So I think it's significant for the future of crypto. In addition to the drop in energy, it will also allow the Ethereum blockchain for more upgrades in future. Ethereum currently processes roughly 4 times more transactions as Bitcoin on a daily basis, and it's significant. And for all the around NFTs and also DeFi, I think it will set Ethereum and the blockchain up for success in the future.
Yeah, so I mean, what I'm hearing you say is the miners, what we traditionally looked at as Bitcoin miners or crypto miners, Ethereum miners, are now going to be replaced by what they've termed validators, who will then stake the crypto. But this comes at a significant cost. Does that then mean that less people are going to be available to stake? I mean, 32 ethers. For as a cost to be a registered validator or an approved validator seems like a significant cost.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so we'll probably see large companies or platforms such as Coinbase, Kraken, and these platforms stake on behalf of their customers. So individuals as clients of these platforms can stake their crypto on these platforms and then they act as almost mass stakers. So most of the staking will actually happen through these major platforms, and I think around 50-60% of staking. But individuals holding the required threshold of 32 Ethereum will also be able to stake, but that will probably be in a minority.
Of course. Now, that actually leads me to the next question would be, is Luna going to be one of those providers? I mean, it might be too early for you to confirm that, but I'm assuming that given given Luna's position as an exchange, particularly in South Africa, it would be the logical option for them.
Look, I think, our objective is to give our customers more choice and more options to earn. We currently already offer savings wallets. It's more based on a traditional lending option. But we're definitely looking at staking as an option. We currently offer Ethereum to our customers, and if we can enable our customers to earn Ethereum, while they hold Ethereum as a long-term investment, then that absolutely makes sense. So it is something that we are considering at this point.
Yeah. So now this whole change and all of these new adjustments and that sort of thing to the Ethereum network don't necessarily mean that transactions are going to become cheaper, do they?
No. So it won't immediately solve the issues with throughput. So the number of transactions that can be processed as well as the cost. It also won't make Ethereum faster, and it also won't drive down the cost immediately. That will all come with future upgrades. I think this merge currently was just the change in the consensus mechanism to proof of stake, and it was significant because it's almost like changing the engine of a car while driving. It was a massive upgrade if you consider the number of transactions being processed on the Ethereum blockchain on a daily basis. So this upgrade laid the foundations for future upgrades, and it'll make it easier for the Ethereum network to add future upgrades to address the issues around cost and also the speed of transactions.
Of course. And I mean, given that Ethereum is now basically effectively completely gone green, does that mean that we're now looking to Ethereum as a more attractive crypto relative to the rest of the cryptos? We know in recent times the crypto space has taken quite a significant hit, taking a lot of decline across all cryptos, Ethereum included, coming off of $4,900 highs to sit at about $1,600. Does this potentially mean that we could see Ethereum surpassing other coins like Bitcoin?
It's a good question. I think if you look at it from a price perspective, yes, the Ethereum price did rally over the last 3 months. I think it's up around 45%, whereas Bitcoin stayed flat. I see some suggest that Ethereum will someday surpass Bitcoin in terms of market cap. But Bitcoin has established itself as the core asset, as a good store of value, as a highly secure asset. However, as we said, Ethereum processes 4 times more transactions than Bitcoin. So hence the need for this upgrade. So I think it's a case of different courses for different horses. I think proof of work works for Bitcoin at this point for what Bitcoin is used for. And I think proof of stake sets Ethereum up, because of the sheer volume of transactions and use cases such as decentralized finance, NFTs, sending and receiving of Ether. So there are many, many more applications built on top of the Ethereum blockchain compared to the Bitcoin blockchain. So you can't really compare the two like for like. Mm. But I do think that this change in Ether, as you said, has made it greener. And to some investors that are more conscious about the environment probably catch their eye.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think it further draws that distinction between sort of your actual crypto coin itself and the blockchain network that things function on. I mean, especially with Ethereum, we know that a lot of Ethereum's users include large institutional banks around the world because of the type of the blockchain or the infrastructure that comes with the blockchain, and that's not necessarily directly correlated or directly related to the price of the coin. So I think going forward, this might be the direction that we see cryptos taking, where there's a clear distinction between the value of the coin and the associated use of the underlying blockchain. Just before I let you go, Marius, your thoughts on the crypto space at the moment? Do we foresee a recovery in the space, given that we've just recently heard that the IMF and the World Bank are predicting further global recessions? We've seen stimulus packages out of the US during COVID and recently out of China. Do we anticipate that at the moment the crypto market will show some signs of life or signs of strength?
Look, it's I think the crypto market isn't operating in isolation compared to the global economic markets, right? So I think there's a lot of uncertainty still. We're seeing that reflecting in the crypto prices. Bitcoin has moved sideways, and so most other cryptos. Ethereum has had a good run because of the positive news and the fact that we had clearer timelines in terms of that the merge will actually take place. But I think there's still lots of uncertainty globally. We have some big events happening next year around the Bitcoin halving, and I think that might provide some impetus for the Bitcoin price to increase. But I think overall, in the short run, probably some volatility up and down. Maybe a case of dead cat bounce, giving investors some hope that the price is going to improve again. But I think we'll probably have to move into next year to see really what is going to happen.
Absolutely. So definitely wait and see what happens on cryptos. Don't be so eager to jump in because of the merge. Thanks very much, Marius. That was Marius Raitz, GM at Luno.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Well, that wraps up a very eventful week. It's been a very colorful week with all the news. I think my parting thought from all of this undeniably has to be around Eskom. It affects everybody. It affects us all in different ways, mostly the same when we all don't have electricity. But I just found it rather strange looking at the news updates that have come out this week. In the same week, we got the Eskom's code red, letting us know that we might have 49 out of the next 52 weeks as load shedding weeks. But then we also got confirmation that they want 32% more in terms of tariff increases. Yesterday, the deputy president in parliament said that there's no chance that we're going to have Eskom privatized. Instead, the unbundling will help. But at the same time, Eskom's said to NERSA that the unbundling would effectively only really help if the court ordered monies that they had coming to them. So the 15 billion rand that was due next year, and I believe the 14 billion rand the year after, were to be ring fenced in order to finance the transmission and distribution divisions once the unbundling happens. It's very interesting to see that Eskom still plans and believes that they can achieve new capacity of about 23,000 megawatts between February 2023 and February 2025. And yet the risk scenario says something completely differently. I think on that, it'll be interesting to see if Eskom gets the 32% and if we as consumers will actually have electricity for that. But outside of that, we'll have to wait and see what Eskom says to us. I'd like to definitely thank Simon for entrusting me with his followers and listeners throughout this week. And thanks to the listeners for all the support throughout the week. It's been a very fun week to do. It's been absolutely wonderful to keep you guys updated on the markets. Special thanks again to the MoneyWeb team, to my guests for their early morning contributions, and most importantly for the senior member of our family being StanLib for helping us pay all our bills. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember that you can catch the podcast every week live on MoneyWeb's website, live from 6:30, or you can listen to the podcast from 7 o'clock, downloadable from the website as well as from the MoneyWeb app. That's my final take here. It's Jimmy Moyaha signing out, and all the best.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.